Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast, Episode 7, Making Extra Money by Starting a Personalized Gift Book Company with Your Friends. I'm your host, Philip Taylor, creator of PT Money Personal Finance. The Part-Time Money Podcast is designed to help you discover new and interesting ways to make extra money and to learn the ins and outs of those money-making methods. Not from me, but from the people who are actually doing the work. Along the way, hopefully you can pick up a few entrepreneurial skills to help you in whatever money-making pursuit you take on. All right, today I'm here with Chris Sunjiao of lovebookonline.com. Chris's company makes personalized gift books for special occasions, and it's really hard to describe Chris's product, so if you go to lovebookonline.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's definitely a cool gift to give someone. But in the past year, they've been featured on Dignation, an episode that I actually caught, and they've actually were also featured on the Today Show. But Chris started his business on the side with three other friends, and now he's grown it into a full-time business. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
What made you want to start making some part-time money?
Well, it all kind of started with just an idea to do something a little different. We wanted to develop something for ourselves. We'd always been working on things on the side. We've always had things, you know, like my history has to do with a lot of like design and like advertising stuff. And you know, as a designer, you're always kind of doing freelance stuff here and there. So that just kind of like spiraled into this unique business, and that's kind of where we ended up. We all just had this passion to want to do something for ourselves. Really,
what were you working on when you started Love Book Online?
We were working for a design company, basically like a housewares company that designs products, and you know, we were happy with what we were doing. We were just all looking for something a little different. And, you know, we kind of stumbled upon an idea that we thought had some legs. Mm-hmm. And we just, little by little, you know, after hours, just kind of chiseling away at it. And a lot of late nights, definitely.
So, okay, you're working at the design company, and was that a 9-to-5 job?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And was it a was it a fairly big company?
It was a mid-sized company. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely had a lot of people in there, and it was a very successful company too. So, you know, we were happy doing what we were doing. It just seemed like the timing was right, and you know, the idea, it just kind of like that spark of the idea kind of pushed you over the edge. You know, it was one of those things where it's like we'd be dumb not to do it.
Okay. So it sounds like the idea really drove the decision. So who came up with the idea?
It's an interesting story, actually. The idea is, just as a quick explanation to some of the listeners, is the Love Book is basically, like you said, it's a personalized book. And inside the book, each page lists a reason why you love somebody. We were sitting around the table at lunch, and we were talking about what we were going to get our wives or girlfriends at the time for Christmas. We needed some gift ideas. So, like I said, we're all kind of like artists and designers, and you know, worked in advertising. So we were good on the communication side, and we're like, well, one of our friends pulls this little book out, a little notebook, you know, a 79-cent little notebook that you get from, you know, any drugstore. Mm-hmm. And inside each page were these like really tiny rudimentary sketches of little stick figures. And on top of them were little reasons why he loved his wife. Mm. And he, it was like a, you know, tattered notebook, and it was, you know, about 100 pages long. And we're like, that's the coolest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. He's like, I give this gift. He's like, this is actually the third or fourth volume that I've done.
Wow.
And he does it like every year. And we're like, that is such a cool idea. Mm-hmm. As artists, like I said, we decided to go and, do one for ourselves, you know, going into Photoshop and, you know, doing it to the next degree up.
Sure.
You know, like sketching them out really nicely. And that also happened to be around the same time that the new, like, rich web applications were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lot of, like, really cool Flash stuff was happening. And a lot of stuff being done in, like, Flex Developer.
Okay.
And that was something that we were dabbling in as well. So what we did was we just decided to combine the two and allow this product to be shared with everybody.
I see.
So the time was right, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to give this gift for make it accessible for everyone. So.
Okay. So when did you spend your time working on this project?
You know, it was whenever we had a free moment. You know, I remember, like, we would take lunches and, you know, spend a little time there. And then we would and then after work, that was the bulk of it. You know, mm-hmm. we would punch out. We would head up to the local pub and
mm-hmm.
crack our laptops open and just sit there and work until 9, 10, 11, sometimes midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Keep just chiseling away.
Yeah. So it was really just being around friends and having a good idea to work on that seemed to drive the decision to do this. I mean, because obviously you could have gone home and sat on your couch every night or, you know, gone and worked out or, you know, whatever it is you wanted to do other than this. So what was really behind, I guess, pushing you to do this? Was it really just the idea and being with friends?
It was a mix of a lot of things. A lot of puzzle pieces fell in the right place at the right time. The group and you know, for your listeners, this is, like, I think this is probably one of the most important things, is the group of people that you work with
mm-hmm.
is so important, because those are the people that are going to get you from point A to point B. And you got to make sure that you have a diverse group. You know, like, if you're I'm a designer, so I have a lot of friends that are in design, but to be able to expand outside of that and to have friends that are, you know, not only designers but marketers and programmers, and it's really like engaging with people that are just outside of your expertise,
right,
that you can partner with. And we found that to be so helpful, because, I mean, literally, it's the best feeling when I'm designing something and I hand it over to a programmer and he goes, "Oh yeah, I can do that. No problem."
Wow.
You know, it's such a great feeling, because I know, like, if I were by myself, I would be sitting there looking at that design going, "Oh my gosh, who am I going to find to be able to do what I want to have happen here?
And can you trust them, and how much exactly. are you going to have to pay them and all that?" Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
So what kind of, backing up a little bit, one more sort of backstory question. What exactly were you doing at the design company again? And were you able to, was everyone from the business or the new business from that company?
We were in a roundabout way. Most of us were all friends.
Okay.
Prior to even being there, actually one of the partners that I'm with, you know, I've been friends with for a long time. So, it really was, just kind of a group effort that we were all friends prior to. So
was there any financial motivation for going into this, or were you being compensated well with the design company? Was this kind of an effort to maybe have something that you could grow on your own, or?
You know, like I said, the idea is what really drove it mainly. Mm-hmm. But were we compensated well? Yeah, you know, absolutely. It was a good company that we were with, and you know, definitely took care of us. We didn't do this really for financial. I mean, the reason is because we didn't know if it would work or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a shot in the dark. We knew we had an idea that hadn't been done, and we knew we had the talent to pull it off. But the reception that we got, we did a few tests. You know, like I said, for the Christmas gifts, we created our prototypes, I guess you could call, and the response was overwhelming. You know, like, you know, tears and laughter and all that good stuff that you hope to get out of a gift, we got. So we knew that, okay, maybe this is something we should push forward with, and You know, remember that, you know, this was actually in late 2007.
Okay.
That we really kind of, you know, started kicking the idea around, and it really didn't come to fruition until like late 2009, early 2010.
Okay. So, when did you come up with the prototype?
That was in November of 2007, just before Christmas.
Okay. So that's the one you gave out to friends and family, or?
I did it for my my girlfriend at
okay.
the time.
Okay.
And who's now my wife. So something must have worked.
That's a good story. That's great. Backing up a little bit, when you got started with the idea and you were spending, you already had the set of friends in place. Was there any specific talent or skill that you needed to be able to perform with the idea and with the this new emerging company?
Yeah, we definitely, you had to have a diverse group. I was the marketing side. We have, you know, we had the programming side, we had the database side. And then one of the most key elements is you got to have the guy who can kind of glue everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, he's kind of the mediator between all of us. And he's, you know, because we all have extreme ideas,
right.
And, you know, I want something designed one way, and the programmers and engineers want it, you know, can only do so much in a certain direction. So, you know, that one guy, the glue that holds everything together, he's a key person.
I see. Which of the guys actually came up with the book?
The original mm-hmm. design was our friend named Rob.
Okay.
And
is he the glue, or was he one of the programmers?
He is the glue.
Okay.
Yep, he was the original glue. He's the guy that used to do the little sketchbooks.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, let's see, what can we talk about? I've gone to the website and it looks great, and you've obviously got some big press mentions. Let's talk about maybe, you know, how you started selling the idea of these books to people. You talk about, you know, showing it to friends and family and getting a good response. How do you then take that and, you know, get it out to the general public and see if it's something that's marketable, I guess?
What we did was once we had the prototype down and once we started work on the application, mm-hmm. there were a lot of hiccups along the way, you know, because you're building something that hasn't been done before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to convey a message not only to the consumer so they understand what they're getting themselves into, but what those benefits are. So like early on, you know, we started out, to be honest, the very first version of this, it was meant to be a helper for a guy. A
right.
guy who didn't have like a romantic bone in his body and needed help. So everything was kind of geared towards guys giving this gift to a girl. So we developed a database, which is like user generated. You know, people come in, they create their books, and we go and we'll hand select some of like the better, more artistically created pages
mm-hmm.
and add them to this ever growing database of ideas. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and the keywords keep getting more and more elaborate and precise. But we found as time went on that it actually wasn't guys who were super interested.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the girls who were doing this. And they just fell in love with the idea. So what we did is we had to go and revamp the entire website. We had to go in and change the color schemes. We changed the logos around. And it was good because we were still kind of new and really unheard of at the time. In an effort to get the name out and to get the word out, you know, we use things like Facebook. We use things like Twitter. We use the social media route, but we don't rely on it.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of like a – you know, I love Facebook, I love Twitter, I love their abilities and what they're able to do, but sometimes I feel that if you get too wrapped up in it, you kind of lose focus on some of the even, you know, some of the mainstream media that, you know, has kind of gotten the cold shoulder as of late.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, the mainstream media is still wonderful. All media, any type of PR that we get, whether it's the smallest little blog or, you know, ending up on the Today Show, it's excellent. We love it because it's just more and more people.
That's good.
But yeah, like things like Dignation, you know, definitely help. Things like the Today Show definitely help. Each of those opportunities kind of came, you know, at odd times, very, very random.
If you were to advise someone to get their website on or their product on the Today Show, what would you tell them? How would you go about trying to do it?
The first thing you do is you have to study your category.
Okay.
Know what you're selling and who you're selling it to, and then you have to watch these shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to see who is doing this, because there's like a whole circuit of people out there that go on these shows and they tour around. Maybe they're authors. Robin Spiesman was our friend who took us from – she's from thegiftionary.com.
Mm-hmm.
She took us on the Today Show, and it was simple. We called her. We know that she had done extra spots. We knew that she wrote a book about gifting, and we just contacted her and sent her some samples. We actually created, you know, some very personalized books for her and her family and stuff, and she loved the idea, so, you know, she took it.
I see. So you went out and found the person who had been on the show already and sort of comes on to sort of highlight different gifts from time to time, and you reached out to her. All
right. Right.
And your product spoke for itself with her, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself. And it's like, if you're not doing something different or doing something new,
mm-hmm.
I mean, don't expect like somebody to fall all over your product if there's already 10 of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like anybody else who's trying to generate, you know, some buzz. They want something new. They want to deliver a different idea that hasn't been done before. And that's the phase that we're in right now. We're introducing this to so many different people, and they're loving the idea of it. So they're more willing to take it with them onto different shows.
Okay. Backing up a little bit, when you guys sort of started kicking this off and you started spending the time together doing this, working on this, I imagine you started not only investing time, but money. So how did you structure this whole deal, this part-time business, if you will, on the side with your friends so that everyone, I guess, would be protected or their interest would be protected?
Well, it's always a risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you go into a business venture, you're always taking some sort of risk, and you have to be willing to do that. So you know, to be honest with you, like the very beginning, we were able to do a lot of it ourselves just because of the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to go search VC money. We didn't have to go, you know, look for angels. We just simply saved up a couple bucks, each of us, put it into it, and went from there. We did all of the design work ourselves, all of the marketing ourselves, all of the programming ourselves. For the most part, we did have a little bit of outsourced help out there for a little while just to do some of the more trickier programming stuff that we weren't super well versed in. But
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take a whole lot of money if you have the right people. That's why I stress that so much. So.
Right, right. But you were also personally investing money. Did you form any type of organization officially, or when did that happen?
Yes, absolutely. We did that right away. You know, you have to form. We formed an LLC.
Okay.
And we had an operating agreement put together, and I also stress that if you're ever going to go into business with a bunch of partners,
mm-hmm.
you know, save a couple bucks up, go find a lawyer that will help you, somebody who understands how to set up an operating agreement between the partners. So everyone has a clear understanding of what their responsibilities are, where they stand, and what happens in the future. Because, you know, how many times have you heard the horror stories about, you know, big fallouts of companies and right. things just going awry? So it's good to have that up front, and so everyone has a clear understanding of what they have to do.
Okay, definitely. Good. So help me transition or talk about the time when you decided to leave the design company. Did that all happen at once for you guys, or?
No, it didn't. It was on an as needed basis, really. Like the company can't support, you know, everyone. A small like fledgling company like we were developing mm-hmm. can't handle everybody.
Right,
it just can't. So, you know, everybody, you know, did what they can. Some people kind of took steps backwards a little bit. Some people just kind of took what they had to. I mean, it really was how do you say? I guess there were sacrifices that were made in order to devote the amount of time that's needed for it.
Okay.
So no, as time went on, it slowly. There was a trickling process, I guess you could call it.
Okay. When did you leave the design company?
I went full time about 3 months ago, 2 months ago.
Oh, okay. So just recently here.
Very recently, yeah. Very recently.
So was that scary at this point, or was that a sure bet? Or
No. It's the most frightening thing I've ever done in my life. I didn't realize this. I was actually just talking to my wife last night, and I didn't realize that I've actually like owned my own businesses since I was 20, and I never realized it until last night. So I'm sitting there thinking back. I'm like, how did this whole thing get started? Because I'm trying to figure out like what I'm going to be saying today, And I realized that, you know, it's been a continuing process for me. It's been a growing process. I've always had some sort of like side business, something going on the side, but I've always had a full time job as well.
Right.
Working in the ad industry for 10 years, and then finally just kind of like exiting it to start my own thing full time was a scary proposition. I mean, no, you know, no insurance, you know, no sick days, you know, the same thing you hear from most people. And it's 24 hours a day.
Yep. So, can you get into numbers for me? You know, were you able to replace your old salary with the new company salary from the new company, or?
I don't want to get into specifics per se, but okay. I'm able. It was I guess you could say it was a lateral move.
Gotcha. Good. Okay.
So, my main concern, I told everyone, I was like, this is what I need. I need to pay my mortgage. I need to pay for my car.
Gotcha.
That's what I need, you know. And like, as long as I can do that, then everything else will be okay.
Is your wife still employed?
She is. She actually owns her own business as well, which. Okay. I helped develop for her. So.
Oh, okay. So insurance is still an issue for you. Did you go out and get some private insurance yet?
Actually everyone, it's funny. Everyone always makes such a big deal out of insurance. It's not as bad for me. I understand because we don't have children. Right. You know, we're newly married. So we don't have like a family per se. It's just us two. So insurance was actually very, very easy for us. And, you know, we got a hold of one of our broker friends who's in the business. He set us up with a plan, which was equal to the plan that we had prior to my leaving.
Oh, wow.
And it's really like it wasn't bad at all, you know.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, most people have to drop down to a high deductible plan with an HSA to be able to have similar payments. So that's impressive that you were able to get a plan that sort of kept you with the same coverage.
Yeah, I mean, granted, we are paying a little bit more than I was, you know, like coming out of my salary every week, but it really wasn't too bad of an experience.
Good. Well, any mistakes you made, you've made along the way that you could share with anyone, if they're getting together with friends to form a company like this and work on it on the side and grow it to a full-time business, any mistakes you could sort of help people avoid if they're doing a similar thing?
Sure. Some of the things that we ran into, I see this a lot because now I am full time. We do get a lot of people kind of like coming up to us and asking like what they can do to start theirs, or, you know, what steps do they need to take. And the first and most important thing is you have to have a business plan. You have to have a business model. So many times people are like, yeah, I want to do this and I want to, you know, I have my own business. But my number one question is, well, who's writing you your check? Who's writing checks to you? That's the most important thing. If you can't figure out who's going to write you a check for the service you provide, you're going to be dead in the water before you even start. So
gotcha.
Have your business plan ready, know who you're selling to, and know where those people are going to be. You know, like the people you're selling to, once you know that, where are they at? Where are they going? Why are they looking for your product? What makes you better than the next person? You know, is it price? Is it quality? Is it style? What is the unique value proposition, UVP? It's so important.
Okay. All right. Well, that leads me into last question. Tell me about... you know, tell me the UVP of Lovebook Online and what the future is for you guys.
Ah, perfect. The elevator pitch. Real quick here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Lovebook Online is a gift that is truly there's nothing like it. It's basically a book that you can get in hardcover or softcover. Hardcovers are $39.95. Softcovers are $24.95. And inside each book, you can create your own content that lists all the reasons why you love somebody. Mm-hmm. And underneath each reason that you love somebody, there's a little like stick figure drawing to help illustrate that particular page. We developed an online system at lovebookonline.com where you go in and create an account and you get to select what book type you want. You get to select your cover type. We have over 70 different cover designs. And you can add your own text and title. And once you're done with that, you get entered into our Lovebook Creator, where basically you start searching for pages for reasons that you love somebody. And as you search through those pages, you can go through and edit each one of those pages to express like a more personal side of it. So like if you have inside jokes or something more specific, or places you vacation, for instance. I love going to Las Vegas with you, is a popular one. So people can, you know, search for different little stamps. We have actually a giant library of all these little clip art type characters and places and things that they can like use as illustrations. And once you're done with your book, you make your purchase, and we actually bind it, print it, bind it, and ship it to you in a package. So,
how long does that take to get to you?
We ship all over the world, so it depends on where you're at in the world. We ship from the U.S. and from the U.K., and pretty soon we'll be shipping from Australia, just to kind of reduce ship times. But generally, domestically in the U.S., for a hardcover book, it'll take about 5 to 7 business days. And for a softcover, about 3 to 5 business days to have developed.
Awesome.
So
what's next for you guys? What do you see in the future?
What we're doing now is we're actually in the middle of developing a relationship workbook. And what that is basically it's a book where couples kind of sit down together, and it's fun. It's like an activity book where you answer questions about each other, you play little games. It's all about the entire concept of what we're finding is all about making connections with people. You know, it's not just I buy you flowers and like here you go, take your flowers and that's it. It's like how do you bind one person to another person? And we find that each individual page or the workbook are ways to bind people together so their relationships can be stronger.
I see. Good.
And that's what we're about, yeah.
Helping improve relationships. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate you joining me today, Chris. This has been a very insightful interview, and I'm lucky to have you guys on. It looks like you're having some great success with the site and with the products. You got really something unique here. So thanks for sharing everything, and it was great talking with you.
Thank you, PT. It was great having a chance to do this with you.
Yep.
That does it for this week's podcast. This has been Phil Taylor with the Part-Time Money Podcast. You can contact me at pt@ptmoney.com or just visit me online at ptmoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and see you next week.